Hare Krishna. We have gathered again on the most auspicious occasion of Sri Radhastami to discuss her dearest devotee, Srila Prabhupada. For the last 2 days, we have discussed Srila Prabhupada's faith in the Holy Name as recommended by His Holiness Bhaktivrinda Govinda Swami Maharaj. I asked His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj what he thought would be appropriate for the third day, and he suggested we discuss Srila Prabhupada's in relation to festivals, as we are in the midst of the celebration of the Bhakti Sangama festival. And of course, Srila Prabhupada observed festivals on different holy days, but the first major festival on its level was the Bhagavat, called Bhagavat Dharma Discourses, a Hare Krishna festival held in Bombay. We had come to India with Srila Prabhupada. One group of devotees had come to India with Srila Prabhupada, and another group had come shortly thereafter and met Srila Prabhupada in India. And initially, devotees were going on the streets of Bombay and chanting Hare Krishna and dancing. People were moved by seeing the American and European devotees of Krishna. But some of our new friends and supporters suggested that if we want to have a very major impact on the people of Bombay, we should hold a Pandal program in the center of the city. But we were so new in India and so small in numbers, we did not know how we would be able to do it. So we approached Srila Prabhupada, and he gave the example of shooting a rhinoceros. He said that everyone knows that you cannot shoot a rhinoceros because they are so big and strong and fierce. So Srila Prabhupada said that if you try to shoot a rhinoceros and you fail, no one will blame you, because everyone knows you cannot shoot a rhinoceros. But if you are successful, everyone will praise you. Oh, he has shot a rhinoceros. Srila Prabhupada continued that everyone knows a small group of foreigners who have just come to Bombay cannot put on a big Pandal program. So if you fail, no one will blame you. But if you succeed, everyone will praise you. So you should try. And we did. So at the time, Shamsundar Prabhu was the temple president in Bombay, and I personally had been with Srila Prabhupada in Gorakhpur. And while we were in Gorakhpur, a new issue of Back to Godhead magazine arrived, and it happened to include an article by me, my first attempt in Krishna consciousness. One afternoon, a devotee came to me and said, Srila Prabhupada is calling you and wants to meet you. So I went in to Srila Prabhupada's room, and Srila Prabhupada was sitting in a fairly dim-lit room, and he spoke in a very deep voice. I have read your article, and it is very nice. You should write more. He said, you should write as your main business. So if you like, you can stay with me and travel with me, and I will personally train you. So I was very encouraged by Srila Prabhupada's words. But at the same time, I had always worked under my immediate authorities. I was still quite a new devotee, and I was not sure how it would work. But Srila Prabhupada said it, and so I agreed. I was very excited about the idea. But at the time, one other devotee named Hansadutta wanted to begin a traveling world Sankirtan party, and he wanted me on his party. And he asked Srila Prabhupada if he could have me. And Srila Prabhupada said yes. So I was a little disappointed, but I knew that whatever Srila Prabhupada did was for the best, so I accepted it. In those days, we didn't have computers. In fact, the devotees did not even have typewriters. Only Srila Prabhupada's secretary had a typewriter for transcribing Srila Prabhupada's talks and dictation. So I went and bought some lined paper and some pencils and pens to begin to write, as Srila Prabhupada had instructed. So we went with Hansadutta first to Agra and then to Aligarh. And while we were with Hansadutta, he received a telegram from Srila Prabhupada saying, organizing big pandal program, Bombay, come immediately. So we immediately booked our tickets on the train and traveled to Bombay. And we arrived there a few days before Srila Prabhupada came. So Shyamasundara Prabhu was organizing the festival, and I told him that Srila Prabhupada had told me to write. He said, you can write anytime, but now we are putting on a big festival, and it's an opportunity to go into any man's office and ask him to give an advertisement in our souvenir book that we will publish for the program. And getting advertisements was the main way we were going to finance the pandal. So what he said made sense, and Srila Prabhupada had always told us to cooperate with our authorities. So I thought, all right, I will help the effort, I'll collect advertisements, and later I will write. So after some days, Srila Prabhupada arrived. And when Srila Prabhupada arrived, he would always go into his room. He'd always have a low asan like this and a low table in front of him, and he would sit and he would glance at all the devotees with great love and affection and care, and the devotees would be so happy to see him. And it was a very loving, ecstatic moment. So Srila Prabhupada was glancing at all the devotees and having little exchanges with them. And when he came to me, he said, "So Giriraj, how is your writing going?" I didn't know what to say, so I just froze. So Prabhupada said, "All right, we will speak later." So later, after everyone had left, Srila Prabhupada called for me. He said, "So, what about your writing?" And I explained what Shyamasundara Prabhu had said, that you can write any time, but this is the one time we can go into any man's office and ask him to give an advertisement. And I mentioned that I knew that Srila Prabhupada wanted us to cooperate with our authorities. He always told us that we should. But I was very apprehensive whether I had done the right thing or not. And I was very anxious what Srila Prabhupada would say. And I said, "So, did I do the right thing?" And Srila Prabhupada replied, "You can never disobey the order of the spiritual master. But sometimes, due to circumstances, you may suspend it. Just like my Guru Maharaj also instructed me to write, but I've been so busy traveling and preaching in India, I've hardly had time to write. But I have not forgotten his instruction to me, and I'm waiting for the time when I can return to it." So he said, "You can never neglect the order of the spiritual master, but you may temporarily suspend it." So I felt very relieved that Srila Prabhupada accepted the validity of my considerations. And I was elated that Srila Prabhupada was so intelligent and practical. He knew that sometimes circumstances changed and we might have to set aside an instruction for a period of time, but we should always wait for the opportunity when we can execute the instruction. So, Shyamasundara Prabhu put me in charge of raising funds for the program. Gurudas Prabhu was in charge of public relations, getting all the different permits we needed for the festival. Rishi Kumar Prabhu was the treasurer, in charge of the money. Shyamasundara Prabhu himself took charge of the publicity and advertising. And Yamuna Devi was in charge of the deity worship, Gurudas Prabhu's wife. And Srila Prabhupada wanted very gorgeous deity worship. And we were expecting large marble Radha Krishna deities. And Yamuna Devi was in charge of getting all the outfits made, all the decorations, all the ornaments, all the jewelry. But there was no money. Although many businesses were coming forward to contribute advertisements, they would not give the money until the souvenir book was actually published. And then we would send them the book with an invoice and then they would make the payment. So one day Yamuna Devi was on a fairly important street in Bombay called Warden Road. And she was so frustrated because she was trying to get some donations herself for the deities, but she couldn't get very much. So she just broke down and began to cry. She just sat on the side of the road crying. And a very distinguished gentleman was passing by in a black car, and he saw this white lady dressed in a sari as a Vaishnav on the side of the road crying. So he told his driver to stop the car. He was an older man, maybe in his 70s, and he asked her, "What is the matter?" And she told him. He said, "Don't worry. I am in charge of the two biggest temple trusts in Bombay, very old established temples in Bombay." And he asked, "How much do you need?" So she told him, 3,000 rupees, which was a lot of money then. So he said, "Don't worry, you come with me in my car to my office, and I will write a check for the whole amount." And so Yamuna Devi went with him and received the amount and made the most beautiful arrangements for the deities, whom Srila Prabhupada later named Radha Rasa Bihari. So the day for the beginning of the Pandal program approached.
Yes.
Shamsinder Prabhu did an amazing job with the publicity. There were billboards all over the city, Hare Krishna Festival, Cross Maidan, March 30th to April 10th, March 30th to April 9th. And the whole city of Bombay was talking about it. And then Shamsundar got a huge balloon that was filled with helium and attached to the site, and it was towering over the city. And it said, "Hare Krishna." So wherever you were, downtown in Bombay, you would see this big balloon over the city, "Hare Krishna." And then finally, he got the choicest location for a billboard. Because you don't always get the exact location you want, because other people may have already rented the space. But at the end, he got a billboard in the most busy intersection of the city, right near the main train station, VT, Victoria Terminus. And by then, everyone already knew about the festival. So there was nothing Cross Maidan, March, no dates, no times, nothing. Only Hare Krishna. Otherwise, everyone knew everything. Still, we were great, we were anxiety, like how many people would actually come, how they would like it, how it would work. But when the time came, people were streaming into the Pandal. And a lot of my good friends who had given me a lot of support for the festival, financial support and advice, they were coming and we had special seats for them. And it was done very opulently. It was like an Indian palace. And outside there were many flashing, running lights. It was very glamorous. And then Srila Prabhupada came. World preacher who had made these foreigners, mlechas and yavanas, into sadhus. And Srila Prabhupada would speak in the morning at 7 o'clock in Hindi, 7 or 7:30. And then he would speak in the evening at 7 or 7:30 in English. So one very important man, a very cultured, influential, wealthy Hindu, Mr. K.J. Somaya, he came in his wife, white khadi, dhoti and kurta and hat, and he wanted to invite Srila Prabhupada to his home for prasad. But at that time, we were getting so many invitations to go to people's homes and take prasad. So Srila Prabhupada said we should tell them that we that we cannot go to their homes for prasad unless they become life members. The life membership program was conceived by Srila Prabhupada as a way of distributing his books and getting support from important people for the movement. The idea was that the life member would donate 1,111 rupees, which was a substantial amount, and in return, he would get all of Srila Prabhupada's books, a lifetime subscription to Back to Godhead magazine, and the facility to stay free of charge in any ISKCON temple in the world for 3 days. So, K.J. Somaya, although he was a very wealthy, traditional Hindu gentleman, he was a little miserly. And he didn't like that we put a condition that first you have to become a life member. But we didn't compromise. And eventually he became a life member and Srila Prabhupada went to his home. And Srila Prabhupada made a joke, that we are making life members simply by eating. So, at the time, Tamal Krishna Goswami was the GBC for India, and overall he was in charge of the Pandal program. And under him, he made me something like, you could say, the temple commander of the Pandal program. Practically, I had to do all the work. And one day, at the Pandal, I mean, there was a big, like this, big stage and big sitting area. But behind the stage, there were some rooms. And there was one room for Srila Prabhupada where he could sit and meet people. One day, Srila Prabhupada came a little earlier than expected. And he went into his room behind the stage. And it was not in proper order. The sofas and chairs were not in proper line. There were some empty prasadam plates and cups left on the table. The table hadn't been wiped clean. The carpet hadn't been vacuumed. So I was very sorry that Srila Prabhupada had to come into such a room in that condition. So I apologized to Srila Prabhupada. I said, I'm sorry I didn't have your room ready in time. So he looked at me quite seriously and he gave an example. He said that he had a professor at Scottish Teachers College who said that the Indians are not fit to govern themselves. And he said that that an Indian can work like an ass, but if you give him 6 asses to control, he won't be able to control them. So Srila Prabhupada said to me, how much can you do alone? He said, it's better that you control 6 asses than work like an ass yourself. So that was an important instruction. But it was still difficult because during the day, Srila Prabhupada would be back at the temple and all the devotees would want to be back at the temple with him and I was all alone at the Pandal. So I finally concluded I have to go and see Srila Prabhupada and explain the situation. And I actually had 2 questions. Because apart from the devotees, there were a lot of hired people that you get in India. Hired people that were meant to clean the Pandal area, meant to put things up, take things down, move things. Hired people to do many things. And Tamal Krishna Goswami, he was dealing with the hired people, but I found him to be very rough with them. And I wasn't sure if we were meant to be so rough. And then my other question was that I didn't have any devotees to work with. So I approached Srila Prabhupada, and I asked him, you know, can we force people to work? And he said, you cannot force them, but you can deal with them in such a way that you trick them. Trick them means you make them want to do something that they actually don't want to do. And he told a story of a young student in school who didn't like arithmetic. He just refused to learn arithmetic. So one day the teacher had the idea, and she drew some animals on the board, and he said, suppose the farmer has two cows and then he gets one bull, so how many animals will he have? So the student said, three. So in this way, the teacher was having the student add and subtract. And the student was very happy with this process. But then his friend next to him said, don't you see what's happening? The teacher is teaching you arithmetic. He said, arithmetic? I hate arithmetic. So Srila Prabhupada said, we can trick them, but we cannot force them. And then I told Srila Prabhupada, you know, there's so much work to do at the Pandal, and you said I should delegate work to other devotees, but I never get any devotees at the Pandal to help me. So he said, well, did you tell Tamal Krishna Goswami? I said, I told him so many times, but he's not sending any devotees. So then Prabhupada told me, you tell Tamal that if he doesn't send you men to work with, you quit. So I didn't know what to say, because I was always the submissive devotee who did whatever the authorities said. I never placed any conditions. And here's Srila Prabhupada, my spiritual master, giving me a direct instruction in his service. But I learned gradually by seeing Srila Prabhupada deal with devotees that although he was their spiritual master and he had all the authority of Krishna to give them instructions, but he was also aware of their natures, and he dealt with them according to their natures as well. There was another incident with Tamal Krishna Goswami that took place some years later in Juhu. Tamal Krishna Goswami had been Srila Prabhupada's GBC secretary for India, but a time came when Tamal Krishna Goswami wanted to leave India and go to the West and preach. So he approached Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada was very disturbed because he was depending on Tamal Krishna Goswami in India. Tamal Krishna Goswami said, you know, that I can't deal with all the management in India. I want to go to America. And Srila Prabhupada said, you can renounce management. I cannot renounce management, but you can renounce management. Anyway, there was a question, who would become the GBC for India? And one day, Tamal Krishna Goswami came to me and said that I should phone Atreya Rishi Prabhu in Iran, that Prabhupada wants him to come to Bombay to become the GBC. So I did what Tamal Krishna Goswami said. I phoned Atreya Rishi in Iran, which was not a small thing to do. and I told him to come to Bombay. When Srila Prabhupada heard about it, he called for me. Said, so, I hear you have phoned Atreya Rishi and told him to come to Bombay because I want him to become the GBC. I said, yes, that's what Tamal Krishna Goswami told me. I said that Tamal Krishna Goswami told me that he had proposed that that Atreya Rishi Prabhu could become the GBC, and you thought it was a good idea. And Srila Prabhupada replied, well, what else do you expect me to say when Tamal Krishna Goswami makes such a suggestion? Anyway, you phone Atreya Rishi and tell him he doesn't have to come. So Srila Prabhupada was very expert in understanding the mentality of his disciples and understanding the mentality of people in general. And he dealt with them in the appropriate way. And one time Srila Prabhupada commented that the difficulty with his disciples is that they don't understand simple human psychology. So anyway, that was Srila Prabhupada's suggestion to me, that you tell Tamal Krishna Goswami if he doesn't give you men to work with, you will quit. Anyway, I didn't directly tell him that if he didn't give me men, I would quit. But I told him that Srila Prabhupada told me to tell you that if you don't give me men, I will quit. But he got the message, and it got a little better. But still, I had to make do with whatever I had. So apart from being in charge of the site, I was specifically in charge of the book table. There's a long, long book table right at the entrance to the Pandal. And in Boston, I had been the Sankirtan leader, and at that time in ISKCON's history, I was the biggest book distributor. And I would approach people and put the book in their hand. That was the first thing. I would get them to take the book in their hand. And I would have them look at it, read a little of it, look at the pictures, and tell them about what was in the book, praise the contents, to increase their desire to have the book. And then I would say, you can have it. They'd say, I can just have it? I said, yeah, you can just have it. You know, we just ask you give some donation, whatever you can. But otherwise you can have it. They would usually give a pretty good donation. So at the Bombay Pandal, you know, there hundreds of people would come around the book table. And the only literature we had in Hindi then was a Back to Godhead magazine in Hindi. So the same as I would do on Sankirtan in Boston, I would hand out the magazines. In Boston, we'd have a Harinam Sankirtan party, and people would gather around, and I would go around the crowd, and if I could get more than one person to take a magazine or book, I'd have a few of them out. And then I'd go back to them and speak to them and ask for donations. So I did the exact same thing in Bombay. I was handing out magazines to the crowd of people who came around the book table. But pretty soon I saw something happening that I never saw in Boston. People were just walking away with the magazines without paying anything for them. So I consulted some of our friends, some of our advisors, local businessmen and supporters. And they said, oh, you can't do that in India. So what do we do? He said, well, you have to poke a hole in the corner of each magazine, and then you put a string through the hole, and you tie the string to the leg of the table. That way they can hold it, they can look at the pictures, they can read it, but they can't walk away with it. So I thought, okay, if that's the way they do it here, then that's the way we'll do it. So at the time, there was an American young man who was coming around to the Pandal. He was wearing this simple white cloth and he had like long matted hair. He was sort of a Shaivite. So I couldn't imagine an American in India who was interested in spiritual life not being a devotee of Srila Prabhupada. So I thought, anyway, maybe he just hasn't had the right association. So I spoke to him a little about Krishna and Shiva. I gave him the Krishna book to read about Krishna and Shiva. And I was a little strong with him. Later on, I discovered that he wasn't the type to respond to the strong, heavy, strict approach. But I felt, you know, I had to explain what the actual position was. Who is Krishna and who is Shiva and who is Shankaracharya and the whole philosophy. Anyway, so I said, you know, I have some service that needs to be done. Could you help? He said, yes. What would you like me to do? So I told him, we need you to poke holes in the corners of the magazines and put strings through the holes and tie the strings to the legs of the book table. He did it. And later, he said, I was the first devotee in ISKCON to ever give him service. Of course, that is his kindness. And I'm sure many of you know I'm speaking of His Holiness Radhanath Swami. His first association with Srila Prabhupada and the devotees came at the Bombay Pandal in 1970. He had been living as a sadhu in the Himalayas, and I believe he came to Bombay to deal with his visa. And he saw the advertisements for the Hare Krishna festival, and he came. And that was the beginning. After the program, we eventually got the Juhu land, and I got a typed letter on an Indian aerogram addressed to the temple president, ISKCON Hare Krishna Land Juhu. And it was very formal and official. Dear sir, I have attended Bhagavat Dharma discourses, a Hare Krishna festival, and I was very impressed by the dazzling artis, the ecstatic kirtans, the learned discourses, and the sumptuous prasad. He had copied those phrases from our publicity. He said, I am very impressed, and I want to dedicate myself to this movement, and this is my application, so please let me know if you will accept me. Signed, Raghunath B. Patil. So I'd never gotten a letter like that before. And as I hinted, typewriters were not very common in India, not just among the devotees, but people just didn't have typewriters. So I wrote back, yes, please come, and we will meet face to face, and then we will admit you into our society. So he came. He was a very mild, humble Maharashtrian young man, very submissive and very ready to serve. And he eventually became His Holiness Lokanath Swami. So you can see how Srila Prabhupada extended his net of mercy to bring in so many souls, and some of them very, very sincere and evolved souls. So the festival continued. It was 11 days, beginning Thursday and ending the following Sunday. And on the last day, we had a procession to the Chaupati beach. Yeah, so we had this festival, Harinam Sankirtan procession through the streets of Bombay to the Chaupati beach. And that was the first time that Radharasa Bihari were really publicly worshipped. So after the festival, Srila Prabhupada was very encouraged by the success. Srila Prabhupada was very encouraged by the success of the Pandav. So he sent Tamal Krishna Goswami and me to Calcutta to put on a similar program there. Tamal and I went by train, and on the train we got a chance to talk a little. And in Calcutta, he said, okay, you make the money and I will spend it. So I said, okay, that sounds good, because I was good at making money, but I didn't know how to spend it, and he seemed like he knew how to spend it, so I said, okay. But one evening, we had a very deep discussion, and it changed my whole approach to devotional service. It was late at night, almost all the other devotees had gone to take rest. And I was finishing my rounds on the balcony, on the terrace, and Tamal Krishna Goswami came and sort of stood next to me on the balcony. And we started talking. And because we don't have so much time, I can't tell you the whole conversation. But he said that his realization was that the key to success in devotional service was to serve and please the spiritual master. So I had been listening to the lectures and reading the books, and there were so many instructions to chant the holy names, to study the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, to worship the deity, to go on Harinam Sankirtan, to distribute books, and to serve Srila Prabhupada. And to me, they were all different instructions, and they were all equally important. But Tamal Krishna Goswami actually gave me the idea that the secret of success in Krishna consciousness is just to serve and please the spiritual master. And that instruction had a profound effect on me. And then all the other processes, chanting the holy name, reading the scriptures, worshiping the deity, they were all seen in the perspective of serving the spiritual master. So again, we had Bhagavad Dharma discourses, a Hare Krishna festival. And I mentioned it the other day in relation to the communists that were ruling Calcutta and the Naxalites. And even though the Calcutta Pandal program was not as glamorous as the Bombay one, but even more people came in Calcutta. In Bombay, we got 20,000 people. In Calcutta, we got 30,000. And Srila Prabhupada said that we should have these Bhagavad Dharma discourses all over the world. Even in America, he wanted them to begin in New Vrindavan with Bhagavad Dharma discourses. So because today is Radhastami, I will conclude with a little story of something that took place in Calcutta around the time of the first Mayapur festival. Yes, after the Hare Krishna festival at Chaurangi Maidan in Calcutta, all along Srila Prabhupada was very eager to get land in Mayapur. And after the festival, we finally got some land in Mayapur. And around that time, a young man named Bob Cohen had met the devotees and was introduced to Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, one day we were with Srila Prabhupada in his room in Calcutta, and Achyutananda Swami had met our landlord. He was a Bengali gentleman. And our landlord had his own ideas about spiritual life. So he told Achyutananda that actually Lord Chaitanya comes first, and Radha and Krishna come from Lord Chaitanya. And he said that Lord Chaitanya is even greater than Radha and Krishna. Just like Rasgulla is greater than milk or sugar, or milk and sugar. So Achyutananda asked Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada said, no, actually, the same example. First, the milk and sugar exist, and then they combine to make Rasgulla. So first, Radha and Krishna exist, and they combine together and become Lord Chaitanya. And then Achyutananda said, well, who is greater? So Prabhupada paused for a moment, and he looked up and said, Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is the greatest. And then he pointed to a picture on the wall, and the picture had Radharani sitting on a higher platform, and Lord Krishna was kneeling by her feet, begging her to accept him. And so Srila Prabhupada said, Radharani is the greatest. And then he pointed to another picture in which Krishna was carrying Nanda Maharaj's slippers on his head. And then he said, Nanda Maharaj is the greatest. And then Srila Prabhupada said, actually, the devotees are the greatest. Krishna comes under their control by their pure love. So, but still, Srimati Radharani is the greatest. And with her, all the other devotees are the greatest. And within the material world, in terms of preaching Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada is the greatest. So we are truly fortunate. We're truly fortunate. I've been blessed by the greatest, and I'm in the association of so many of the greatest. So we should take advantage of the great good fortune that we have received by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the Parampara, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Radha and Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.